Bush and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast. We're going to be honest with you. During a couple of the songs that you won't hear because it's a podcast, we did spend a lot of time gathered around one of the computers looking at a thread on X which shows 15 tech gadgets you would not believe are real. And it's everything from a little ring that goes on your finger that you can turns your finger into a mouse.
That was
computer.
The one I think that you were the most impressed with.
But only because the lady does the dishes while still wearing it. And then there was the chair bike so you can work and stay active while sitting down.
Was she doing the dishes or was she doing the dishes but controlling her mouse at the same time?
I think she was just got up because she was working from home and then she's just gone and washed her coffee cup out after an excruciating Teams meeting.
And then hasn't ruined her ring.
You'd have to ask her.
Can't help yourself, can you?
You can't help yourself. Sorry, everyone, that's our tech feature over. It's the show.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
We need to talk about this. I've had an awful, awkward moment with a famous person. Like, really, really awful. Not kind of career-ending, but definitely bad optics with a famous person.
I live for moments like this from you.
It's really bad. So just, and I need kind of counselling about this. Let me explain. So yesterday we were recording our podcast Guestimators at a world-famous online music company with a green logo at their HQ, mm-hmm. Okay, without going into too much detail. And it's a hub for loads of other, like, massive podcasts, not you know, smaller ones like ours, but, like, Richard Osmond is there with Rest is Entertainment, Louis Theroux knocking about, all this kind of thing. So normally just keep your head down and don't worry about it. Yesterday was much quieter, so I was sitting there with my friends Matt and Will, who I do the podcast with, just chatting away. I thought we were the only people in the studios that morning, so I was safe. And I got onto the subject. One of my favourite bugbears is moaning about cricket.
Don't I know it?
So, and I do believe, I still stand by this, even though this may end my career, I believe cricket is so bad that if anyone had a go at it, you could get quite far. But like, not that many people play it, so your average person could get quite far. Whereas, like, football, so many people play football, it almost, like, narrows the field slightly.
Whatever has happened next is karma. I just want to put it out.
So you're back in what happened to me.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I was eulogising about my view on cricket, and then my two friends Matt and Will went really quiet and were, like, doing the whole cut thing to me. I was like, what are they talking about? This fella would walk behind me, and I thought he was, like, a cleaner or something. And it turns out they've pointed out to me that he is a cricket person called Joss Butler.
A cricket person, in inverted commas. The winning men's captain of the World Cup side, yes.
All right, so is he like an international? Is he one of the big ones?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Sought after for every franchise cricket team.
See, the worst thing is, that guy then went around the corner and was having a chat with another guy who's a tall guy who is like a fast bowler.
Right.
Who's got blonde hair. Is it Broad?
Stuart Broad.
So he was there as well. So I think he might have told Stuart Broad what I said.
Yeah, yeah. And they both hate you.
They both hate me, yeah. So I've got it's awful. I've got to go in there again next week, and I don't know whether I've, like, ruined it for everybody. So if this is my last day on the show, I thought, let's make something out of this. So we're asking, have you ever had an awkward moment with a celebrity? Rich, have you ever done anything like a nightmare in front of a celebrity?
I've never trash talked like you have, but had a media studies trip to Television Centre back in the day when I was at school, and carelessly knocked some scripts out of Des Lynam's hand as he walked out of a lift and he had to pick them up.
That's amazing.
I was so startled, I should have stopped and picked them up.
Yeah.
But he did.
Did he turn around and say to you, shouldn't you be at work?
That would have been good.
That would have been good.
Shouldn't you be at school?
That would have been
better.
Yes. Damn, if only you could go back in time. Wouldn't it be great to do good gag moment, Quantum Leap? We can go back and say the stuff you thought of afterwards.
I see a feature starting.
That'll happen soon. Big Rosowski's been on. He says he had a nightmare with Jarvis Cocker from Pulp. He was on the Tube platform, did a triple take at him, frowning as I couldn't place him before the penny dropped. And I said, oh, that wasn't very cool of me, was it? And he replied no and got on the train. Some of these are absolutely excruciating, making me feel better, actually. Lou in Somerset says, I once saw Jimmy Carr in the street, and he's about 50 yards away, so I yelled at him, hey, Jimmy, can I ask you a question? And he replied, you already did. Turned around and walked off.
Everyone I think was that's watching. Quite funny.
That is quite funny, yeah. But she felt quite chastened by that.
Steve says he was asked by one of his clients to advise Theo Paphitis from Dragon's Den about his trees. So just as he met him in his newly landscaped gardens, his spaniel took care of business on Theo Paphitis's lawn and then jumped into his new pond.
Wow, what a critic. What a critic the spaniel is. And this fella doesn't leave his name. Summer of 93. What a great start to a text. I was a labourer working at the refit of the Virgin Megastore in Nottingham. A small car rocked up to the parking at the back with a few lads in. I was obviously taking my then car park duty very seriously and told them to do one. The fellow in the car said, but I'm Chesney Hawks. I'm playing in the Virgin Megastore. And he said, I've never heard of him, so I told him to go find parking somewhere else. Turns out he really was the one and only Chesney Hawks, and him and his fellows were indeed performing in Virgin. He says, sorry, Mr. Hawks. Neil says, I saw Bill Oddie at Slimbridge Wildlife Trust. I didn't realise he was filming and tried to take a photo of him, and this was the result. And he sent in the photo, and Bill, to stop the photo, has done arms across his face. That's how he's negated the photo.
Love it.
Good work, Bill.
Michelle keeps the cricketing vibes going.
Oh, good.
Says, asked the cricketer, Mark Ramprakash, what he did for a living. He said, I play cricket. But the reply was, yeah, but what do you do for a living?
Oh, see, that's the crux of what I was kind of getting at with Joss. This one here says, when I was about 7 back in the early 80s, my parents took me to go and see the wrestling with a guy called Big Daddy. He was our hero, so after the match, we snuck into the changing rooms to see if we could get his autograph and found a very naked Big Daddy in the shower, covered in soap, telling us to get lost.
Oh, dear.
And, yeah, I'm just going to leave that rest of that text there.
Fair enough.
There you go.
Kathy, who was your running with?
It was Jamie Carragher.
An awkward encounter with Jamie Carragher, I can only imagine.
What happened? Yeah.
I was in a hall of mirrors with my eldest daughter, and I was just looking around a hall of mirrors, as you do, and then I bumped into the person next to me, and it was Jamie Carragher. And I went, oh, hello, can I have your autograph? And I didn't mean to say it because I don't even like football. And he said, oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's great. And then I realised he was with his children. And then a whole group of people came and said, oh, can we have your autograph? Can we have your autograph? And I was so embarrassed. And I went, I'm really sorry, Jamie. I didn't realise you were here with your children. And I ran away. Why on earth would he be there in the Hall of Mirrors?
on his own, just hanging out on his own.
That's what the Premier League footballers do, isn't it? They love a Hall of Mirrors.
And let's just clarify, this was in like a fairground or something like this, or it sounds like a dream.
Southport Fair,
Jamie Carragher, Hall of Mirrors. Love it.
Oh, so embarrassing. Bush and Richie's
Daily Takeaway. Absolute Radio. You may have been listening to yesterday's show where I shared the story with you that my 7-year-old son Rocco has put himself forward for the school talent show. Open auditions held the other day. Didn't know anything about it whatsoever. He's put himself forward as a stand-up comedian.
And we had a couple of his jokes. One of them was we were trying to work out what the punchline was about.
Yes, the one I think that caused most discussion was the what do you call a cow with no legs? Cowless.
It's almost like meta. It's almost like a joke within a joke.
Very polite way of putting it.
Yeah, it's meta.
And what was really warming was yesterday how the Hometime family, the Hometime audience, all tried to come forward and help Rocco should he get selected for the next stage of auditions. And that, I think it's fair to say, is a big should at this stage. I wrote down all the ones that were suggested and yep. I put them to him this morning. He was delighted. And so what you're about to hear is a work in progress stand-up session from Rocco over breakfast this morning.
Hello everybody, my name's Rocco and I've got some jokes for you. What do you call a jelly? What do you call something that flies and wobbles in the air?
I don't know. What do you call something that flies and wobbles in the air?
A jelly copter.
Very good. Got some more jokes? Go on in.
What do you call a couple that go fishing? A rod and a hook.
I love that one. Yeah, it's really good. Okay.
I've got one last joke. Why did the baker have brown hands?
Why did the baker have brown hands?
He needed a boot from his bum.
Oh, great, thank you.
One more, and then that's it. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Water.
Water who?
Why didn't you get water from your own bum, mate?
Okay, enough.
I don't think there's any hope. I don't think there's any hope. He messed up the rod and a net, and he still wanted to do his own material at the end.
I think he's been watching them Bernard Manning DVDs again.
Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.
So look, imagine you could carry your favourite snack around with you all the time, but miniaturised and made into a key ring forever. That's been the dream this week on the Home Time Show. We've been talking about school fads at the start of the week. It's all started when listener Paul got in touch and told us about his kids. They were shrinking crisp packets in the oven. Listen to this.
Well, I missed out on this in my childhood, but they've been baking crisp packets and making them miniature and then making them into key rings and all sorts of bits and bobs.
On this show, Richie and I are like that fella that gets stuck in with indigenous tribes on BBC. You know that fella? He's all in. So we're gonna do that tonight. The big question is, what crisps are we going to be shrinking? Richie, what have you decided upon?
I've decided on something. I just want ratification from you that this isn't too controversial. What I want to do is mini cheddars. I know they're not crisps, but okay, they come in a...
It's quite a small bag, though, right? Isn't it? This is going to be a key ring in the end.
I never buy the small bag. I love mini cheddars so much. I always buy the big grab bag.
So are you... All right, so we're not talking about the bag that smaller bags of mini cheddars come in.
No.
Because that'd be quite a big key ring. It'll be like going to the disabled toilet in a Wetherspoons.
It would be.
Okay, fair enough. That's cool. I think I'm going to go for my favourite flavour of crisps. And this is a risk because sometimes you can't find them and I run the risk of that. And that's Worcester sauce flavour crisps.
Oh, right.
Really
okay.
Good. That purple colour.
Okay.
So what we've got to do, apparently, place the crisp packet on a baking tray lined with baking paper, cover the packet with another sheet of baking paper and place a weight on top to keep it flat. Heat the oven to 200 degrees and then bake the packet for 2 to 6 minutes or until it's shrunk significantly. There's a familiar phrase. And then be mindful not to overbake as this can cause the packet to melt.
Don't want that to happen.
I don't want that to happen in many years.
Obviously, to make it into a key ring, we're going to need a hole punch.
I haven't even thought about that yet.
Must be one of them kicking around the office, you'd hope.
Brilliant. We'll have a rummage round, see what happens, and we'll bring in our shrunken crisp packets tomorrow. Yeah. It's going to be a hell of a show.
10 weeks.
That's right, we're giving away some amazing tickets to some amazing gigs and festivals over the summer, thanks to 10 Weeks of Tickets. Today we have a pair of tickets for you to win to the mighty Linkin Park at Wembley Stadium, 28th of June. In order to win your way to this huge gig, all you need to do is take part in our infamous game that we like to call LinkedIn Parts.
It's very simple. A fictional entry to a celebrity's made-up LinkedIn profile, their online resume. All you have to do is correctly guess which celebrity's profile that we're reading from. Here we go.
Best of luck, everyone.
So under the awards section, it says made a dame by Queen Elizabeth II for her contributions to drama in 2018.
Can I just say that our producer Nick has written these, and when we do it, he doesn't make eye contact with us at all. It's a bit like who's used the last of the milk and not replaced it? It's like that.
Can I just say I wouldn't want him to make eye contact with us during these either.
Very good point, actually. Look away.
Under extracurricular activities, it says involved in the Cambridge Footlights alongside Hugh Laurie and Stephen Fry. He just tried to look.
Please look over there, Nick.
In their biography, it says the only person in history to win an Academy Award for both acting and writing.
Joe, if you get this right, fair play to you, you deserve the tickets. Let's speak to tonight's contestant, who is called Michelle. How you doing, Michelle?
Hi there, you're right.
Frankie, what a strong landline Michelle has.
Very strong.
Crystal, it's like you're in the same room, Michelle.
I'm on a mobile. I'm in London. Maybe that's got to make a difference, you know?
She's just around the corner.
She's on platinum, some kind of platinum account or something like that. Have you had a good day so far? I was just saying earlier on, it's been weird weather today, isn't it, Michelle?
It has, very strange. But yeah, it's nearly Friday, so that's always a good thing, no?
There you go. Fair play.
We are celebrating, and hopefully you will be too soon, Michelle, by winning LinkedIn Parts. These were the made-up entries taken from a celebrity's fictional LinkedIn profile. Need you to identify who the celebrity is. Under awards, it said made a dame in 2018. Extracurricular said they were involved in the Cambridge Footlights. And in their bio, it says the only person in history to win an Academy Award for both acting and writing. Michelle, whose LinkedIn parts were they?
I think it's Emma Thompson.
Dame Emma Thompson is the correct answer. You're off to see Linkin Park.
Yay. Thank you very much. That's amazing. Thank you so much.
Stick that in the diary, Michelle. That sounds fantastic. Who are you going to take with you?
Oh, I don't know yet. It might be a bit of a battle, really, between a few people, hey.
Keep your friends on their toes. If you are a friend or you know Michelle, you need to up your game and you'll get to the gig. Good to speak to you. Have a brilliant rest of your Thursday night.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks so much. Bye.
Bless. Listen, bye-bye. If you missed out today, there are more great tickets to be won online. Don't forget to listen to the Dave Berry Breakfast Show tomorrow for your chance to win Stereophonics tickets. Whilst on home time, we'll be sending another one of you to see Linkin Park.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
You know that this show is one big family and we like to help each other out. That's why every Thursday night from 6 o'clock onwards, we like to run a little feature called Help. We can get in touch if you need advice. And we don't just mean Richie and I. We're of no use, to be honest with you. We're talking about the Brains Trust that is the Hometime listeners. All you've got to do is drop us an email, hometime@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Reese and Ellie have done just that. This is their email. Hello, Bush and Richie. We need help with our 16-year-old who is now only 10 days away from doing his last GCSE exam. We're very proud. He's revised hard. However, he doesn't seem to be wanting to do anything afterwards. We keep on telling him to find a summer job before starting college, but he isn't interested in doing anything about it. We don't want him just sitting around the house festering. Neither of us can understand why he doesn't want to just earn some money to then fritter away, like 16-year-olds do. Are we being harsh? What do you think? How do we get him to pull his finger out? Cheers, boys. Reese and Ellie.
Now, if I was to answer that pre-having kids, I'd be like, you know, get him out there, make sure he gets a job and all this kind of stuff. But I keep telling my girls now that enjoy this bit of leisure before you get into the working world. Because once you start work, that's just kind of the end of it. You don't get time to do anything that you really want to do. And I mean, I remember with real fond memories that bit when you've just finished your GCSEs and you have like an amazing summer of like, obviously I grew up in Devon, so like sitting on beaches and going to like parties and all that stuff. And it was absolutely brilliant.
I'm not sure you've necessarily just answered that how Reese and Ellie were hoping.
Sorry, that hasn't panned out anymore, guys.
Apologies. But I guess they are saying, are we being harsh? So that is your honest answer. I do cherish the memories of my summer jobs once I finished my GCSEs.
That's true.
You know, and you are getting the chance to make a bit of money just by, I can remember picking litter off Eastbourne Beach at 6 o'clock in the morning.
That was community service, wasn't it? you had the high-vis vest and everything.
Or I did have a high-vis vest, but you had to.
No, I was not.
I was head boy at school.
Have you still got that tag thing on your ankle?
No,
it's a fitness band, isn't it?
No, it's a fitness band.
Yeah, fitness band.
All I would say is to this lad, and they don't tell us his name, and that's probably a good job too, is in a couple of months' time, I'm imagining you're going to need to be paying for driving lessons.
That's a good point.
They're not going to pay for themselves. So I would be searching out for some summer jobs.
Is that your advice then for a teenager who can't be bothered to do anything, is that his driving lessons ain't going to pay for themselves? That's the language that teenagers understand.
I don't think either of us have covered ourselves in glory with our early advice. This is why it is open to you. Reese and Ellie are after your help. Matt texts, 8-12-15 by the way, says, totally the parents are being harsh. Give him a break. Let him enjoy summer. Also, interesting intel. Need to check if it's true. A lot of people don't take on 16-year-olds these days.
Oh, really?
Apparently so.
Sure, the game has gone in child labour. I've got to say as well, it's our producer Nick that's actually playing piano in the background whilst we do this.
He's so good.
It's good, isn't he?
Talented lad, yes.
Same tune every week, but I love it. Right, some harsh, kind of tough love coming in here. Nick, can you dip it down a little bit? That's better. Jacob says, change the Wi-Fi password. That should get him out of the house, then hopefully he'll get a job. That's not very nice.
It's not very nice, because most people are actually falling along the side of the lad.
Yes.
Jane in Oxford says, let him be a kid. Enjoy the time off after studying for his GCSEs. There's plenty of time for work next year. That break after GCSEs was epic. I'm 47 now. I still consider it to be the best summer ever. Loving the show.
See, yeah, this is it. I mean, it could be a great summer. Although, like we said earlier on with the jobs and the work thing, you know, like you think about those early jobs, those summer jobs you used to do. They're great fun.
They were.
Going out with people, you know, used to go out when you finish work and all that kind of stuff as well. So you don't want to miss out on that as well.
I used to ride a dust cart.
Did you?
Yes, after I jacked in the clearing the beach, got a job on a dust car.
Brilliant. So, at what point did you make number plates? I swear you did community service.
It was not community service.
You're trying to tell us tonight,
in
not so many words, that you did community
service.
Dropping
hints.
I'd be interested to know, actually, if you're kind of moaning along to this like we've been doing, what your first hourly wage was back in the day. Genuinely, mine was a little restaurant. I was a pot wash in Brixham in Devon. £1.75 an hour.
Wow.
That ages me, doesn't
it?
What was
really
do you remember what your first wage was?
My first wage was my Sunday paper round, and that was £3. But when I look back at it, that was about 2 hours to do.
Yeah.
It's about £1.50 an hour. It's horrendous.
It's like someone out of a Dickens novel. But here's an interesting bit of intel. Someone here says apparently he needs to be 16.5 years old to officially use his national insurance number. But then, I don't know whether people just pay the old cash in hand, or is that a bit dodgy?
I think that's a bit dodgy. You can't start out your working life like that with this lad, can you, really?
This is what, like I said earlier on, the game's gone in the world of child labour. One of the side kind of diversions of our help feature tonight, where we're trying to work out, about this 16-year-old lad, whether he should be trying to do some work and stuff after finishing GCSEs, is getting into a conversation about what people's first ever hourly wage was. So have a little think, go down memory lane. What was your first hourly wage? Hi to Andy Burrow, who used to get £2.50 an hour at Woolworths in 95.
It certainly seems that a lot of people getting in touch did better than you and I.
Yes.
Barney, £3.3p, very specific, £3.3p an hour at a golf club in Buckinghamshire as a cook and cleaner, but got free golf.
That sounds like a pretty good deal.
Yeah,
overall.
Yeah.
Tricky's been on, 1989, £3.90 an hour. I could only dream of £3.90 an hour. He was a removals porter.
And how about this? Here's a name, Safeway for Nate, £2.53 an hour. Loved it.
I can't believe it.
Crushing boxes on a massive machine.
Oh, sounds like Stu Francis. Every single person earned more than us.
Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.
Right, let's give our new tech feature another run, because it got torpedoed at the beginning of this episode.
What bit of technology would you like to see invented, Richie, that's not invented?
Okay.
Something in your life that needs a bit of tech to take it to the next level.
A smut filter.
Smut filter?
Yes.
Okay.
So, if I'm in a conversation and someone says something that I'd want to then just turn it into an innuendo...
Okay.
The smut filter reduces any ability to notice that that was an innuendo that was just said.
I like it. So it kind of like masks the words.
Yes.
So you don't end up saying something that you regret later on.
It would either work like that, or it would kind of like, very topical at the moment, these sort of like weight loss jab things, which basically take away your ability to feel hunger.
Uh-huh.
So maybe my tech is a jab that takes away the ability to even notice a smutty double entendre.
That's, I like that. Maybe there's one that they can work on for me not to say inappropriate things whilst watching the news in the evening. So if they can get a whole range of injections.
Yes.
Do let us know if there's a bit of technology you would like invented, and we are pitching for a new Tomorrow's World segment on Home Time. Home Time at absoluteradio.co.uk.
Would that be a new segment, or would that be a nice new slot?
I think the injection's working.